Welcome to Aging Revolution. My name is Ty Mines. Today I am joined with Emily Foreman, Director of Wellness and Enrichment Services at JABA. Emily, what can you tell me about yourself?
Well, let's see. I am back with JABA, and after, you know, working elsewhere for a little bit and still in the field of aging services, but I'm so glad to have found my way back here. This is a place and a mission and people that I care greatly about. I started, surprisingly, like being engaged and working with JABA and in the field of aging services when I was very young, just kind of following along with my mom to various community senior center locations and helping the volunteering. And it just struck a chord with me. I loved the advocacy for older adults. I loved the community work. And it just seemed like a natural path. So to be in this role back at JABA and supporting these community programs at a time when it's really important is just feels very impactful and exciting for me. So I'm happy to be here talking with you.
I'm glad to have you here. Today, we're going to be talking about the JREC, which if you don't know what the JREC is, it is JABA's Respite and Enrichment Services. Can you talk a little bit about what the JREC is? Just a general idea for people who may not be familiar?
Sure. So our respite and enrichment centers are simply adult day programs. We like the name Respite and Enrichment Center. Yes, essentially, these are programs that are known as adult day. These, you know, individuals who attend, their caregivers find respite and enrichment for their loved ones and themselves when they participate in this program. So we, you know, most often are welcoming individuals into these programs who are unable to live alone. We have two locations. We have one in Charlottesville at our main office, and we have one in Louisa at the Betty J. Queen Building. We are very proud of these programs. We love being able to see the caregivers have an opportunity to have some respite time for themselves. We all recognize that caregiving can be a heartwarming and valuable part of someone's life while also being quite demanding of time, and it just takes a lot.
Can you explain how something like the JREC is different from other care options like home care or assisted living or a nursing facility?
So with adult day programs, oftentimes the individuals who are attending and participating in our program, you know, could be eligible for a long-term care location. Oftentimes the family and the loved one are wanting to make the choice to be in the place of their choosing and aging and living in the place of their choosing. And a lot of times it is home. It is with their family. It is with their loved ones. And this allows that to occur. They can come and attend for the entire day. We like to see individuals coming at least four times a month or more, but the caregivers and the families are able to sustain their home, keep working, and trusting that we're providing quality care to their loved one. So it provides, I think, a little bit of independence in that and integrity that's involved with choice. And oftentimes we have individuals who will come and participate in the program, be a part of it. And we see an improvement on some of their outcomes when it comes to their care. We have nursing assistants who are staffed, who are there to provide like higher levels of care for higher levels of need. So that includes medication management, often medical interventions with physicians. We have an LPN on staff who helps us to work through care plans that are very person-centered care provided. So not only are they receiving engagement and participation with activities and enrichment opportunities, they are also having, medical supportive staff who are engaged in their care and working with them.
Yeah. We talk a lot at JABA about aging in place and how it is so important that people are able to make those decisions for themselves and be able to say, I want to stay home and stay independent. And there are many benefits to continuing to stay at home where you are comfortable, where you feel safe. And for many people, it is also a much cheaper option than being in a long-term care facility.
Absolutely.
Do you have any stories? You said that you notice some people come in and they get improvement. Do you have any stories that you can think of just off the top of your head? Someone improving at their time?
One story that just popped up in my head that I feel like was just such a wonderful moment for the staff and also for other members of the program too. So we have one participant here in our Charlottesville location who had more of a severe progression of her dementia diagnosis. And oftentimes it was, maybe a lack of engagement in her wanting to participate in some of the things that were going on. And we never coerce or force anyone to participate in something that is not something they're wanting to do. So as much as, we encourage that, we do love to see, moments or initiation to try and participate. And this was just really an amazing day because we were playing, I think we were doing a hula hoop exercise of some kind. And it was musical, it was colorful, and the noise was healthy, happy noise, but it was louder than normal. And recognized that she was wanting to participate. And oftentimes there are moments where she's nonverbal, but is attempting to put words together. And so she proceeded to stand up with staff support, walk to where the activity was occurring, and took a lead in the activity by, there was a ball involved and various other things, but she was essentially leading the activity for the group for what probably seemed like 15 to 20 minutes. And so at that time on that day, I was downstairs for a majority of the day. They got me out and off, like away from my desk, into the room. All of the staff were all surrounding and were just floored by what we were watching. And oftentimes when there is cases of dementia and someone's living with this, there are moments where there can seem like there is just this clarity and sense of like vitality and engagement with what it is that they're doing. And that's not entirely uncommon. I do think, though, that the nature of the program and the activity that was occurring and the joyfulness and the color and the connection with others further spurred that level of engagement from her. And I would have loved to have seen some kind of scan that showed her like brain neurons firing off and she was doing what she was doing. It was really wonderful. And I know there's a lot of those moments that happen. And the staff try hard to pay attention to it and to share when they are witnessing something like that occurring. But I feel confident saying that it at least happens, like for sure, weekly. And we see these moments where there could be more of a consistent engagement from someone who's not necessarily as engaged before. The initial onboarding in the first month or so of someone joining can be a little bit of an acclimating. And then we see connections with others. We see participation without as much thought and hesitation. We see an improvement in either based on their level of need, navigating the space, feeling more comfortable. And that to me is an improvement I would make in what they would be experiencing otherwise, whether at home without being around people, or even possibly in a location where they're not as driven or motivated to engage.
Yeah.
I think too, like the consistency of a certain kind of activity, maybe it's just like the umbrella theme of music in general, as an example, but then there's different kinds of music or use different ways in which music is presented to the group. And just because there's just this consistent theme and expectation of it, I think that people have a tendency to kind of connect that or thread with that. And there's just this comfort that's attained and participation that occurs. And that engagement and the outcome from that is really just so impactful. So impactful.
Yeah. What are some signs that a family might benefit from respite care, both for the loved one itself and for the caregivers?
I mean, we see a variety of scenarios that happen when they get a phone call, we get an inquiry, and someone who take the first step is we would invite someone to come in and take a tour and then sit down with them and see if this is like the right step for their family and for their loved one. It can be that, you know, I would say often it is the caregiver, the care provider, the care partner, however they choose to identify themselves, coming to us and having a moment of some vulnerability, transparency, trust in JABA that they are needing additional support. We not only do we recognize that and validate it and have a conversation, we also offer connections to our caregiver support group coordinator that we have, make sure that they are connected with additional resources outside of Respite and Enrichment Center, and that they know of other resources in the community as well. Because like I said, even if the Respite and Enrichment Center program is not necessarily the right step, we never want someone to walk away who is feeling a bit overwhelmed with care providing, that there's no options other than that. So that's a big one that we hear. Sometimes it is the level of need, and that could be, it's a variety of ways that a caregiver can get to the point where they feel like they are needing additional support. It can be that the level of need that the care recipient is at is beyond what they can do. And maybe they're willing to continue to provide the care. They just don't feel comfortable doing it. They feel like medically certified person would be better at helping care. And oftentimes it's personal financial need. It is the requirement to go back to work and they don't have anyone to help take care of their family member and they need to reach out to us. That has been a situation sometimes. And you know, it kind of just, those are probably the top two that we get. But the majority is that. And then, you know, sometimes what we do see is we have our community senior center locations, and we have individuals who attend those programs who, you know, do live alone, perform similar activities, conform activities of daily living without much outside support, more activity happening. And sometimes it is individuals who are no longer eligible for that program and come to talk with us about Respite and Enrichment Center. We get sometimes inquiries from family members who don't live in the area and their parent or aunt or uncle are living, you know, with someone or living alone and are worrying about their levels of need and properly taking care of themselves. So we'll open that front door and say, like, would the JREC program be appropriate? Would the community senior center be appropriate? There's just a variety of referrals, inquiries that we get, but there's always a way that we can help.
We're focusing a lot on people that have dementia and Alzheimer's, but the JREC is also for any adults that have disabilities that need extra support and care.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we have... adults who are younger and they are living with either a developmental disability, intellectual disability, and ultimately what we arrive to is this individual is unable to live alone at home safely. If anyone is wondering whether a certain disability would qualify for JREC program, we just invite them to call and check in with us. Obviously, like I said before, we do have nursing assistants in each program. We have an LPN on staff who helps to support these kinds of decisions. And the priority is placed on making sure that the care and support being provided to that individual is appropriate and safe and all of those things. But we want to first have a conversation and make sure that, you know, if we aren't able to provide safe care for your loved one, that we are making a referral to a group or agency that can better support.
Yeah, definitely. So we've discussed it a little bit, you know, music, exercise, but what kind of programming and services are usually provided at our JREKs. And I know we have two different center locations and they both do very different things because the different needs in each organization or each facility is different. But just generally speaking, what are the ones that you see, or maybe what are some of your favorite ones that you think that other people enjoy?
Yeah. So I'll start with our Louisa program. It's a really unique special community in Louisa that attends there. It is a comforting, well-connected, supportive group of staff and a programming that occurs that is so supportive and person-centered. And, you know, names are known, phone calls are made to families without a hesitation. The caregivers for those who attend our JREK program in Louisa check in with our staff on almost like a weekly basis to see how their loved one's doing, touching base with they know the nurses, they know the manager very well. And that's something that we really consider to be a very important part of the programming that we do. I think what is special about the Louisa program is just, there's several, but one thing that sticks out to me is it's right down the hall, literally, like, I don't even know, very close to our community senior center. And the current JREK manager and the community center supervisor are working to really be very strategic about the way we collaborate and connect with these programs. We have, you know, shared activities on a couple times a week. They just recently had a collaborative dance. And it was a wonderful, awesome day with a lot of great music. And I want to say there was like a soul train line where one of our participants went down it. And they really support and celebrate and validate one another in a really lovely way. One particular JREK participant loved, we have a nice outside kind of area, like a patio, and we have bird feeders outside. And one particular JREK participant loves to watch the birds and make sure to remind staff when the bird feeders are getting empty so they can be filled again. And it's always such a fun, when I go out to Louisa and I walk into the room, I always get an update on how the birds are doing and how the bird feeders are. And it's just the characteristic of only Louisa Center. And it just speaks to the lovely comfort and community that exists there. And they are right also down the hall from Parks and Rec. So there's when I speak about joyful noise, there's a lot going on down the hall too. So we hear like pickleball and we hear sometimes like kids walking up and down because there's a childcare directly across from us. So around Halloween, both the Respite Enrichment Center and the Community Center were able to, hand out like approved candy treats to the kids. And that was a really fun day for everybody. So that collaboration that exists is unique to that center. And I think it's really cool.
Louisa's very, just in general, that building is very intergenerational.
Yes, very. I mean, it's the intention.
Yeah.
You know, like it really is the intention. And I think we're getting back there again. We're getting back there. And I'm excited about that too. And let's see, Hillsdale has a lot, you know, I think the proximity to Charlottesville and being just really connected to a lot of local schools and other community partners. We have musicians that show up routinely that play. And it's just so great because there's this, you know, semicircle of chairs that gets put up there. And there's a couple members that take the first chairs to the closest they could possibly be and sing at the top of their lungs. And we never quiet voices, right? Like you never want to do that. So it is a very welcomed celebration. And it is something that always tickles me and is just really, really wonderful and great. You know, when you think about choice and integrity and aging in the place of your choosing and using your voice to be able to share what it is that you want. I mean, what better expression than hearing someone in a program like this singing at the top of their lungs in a place they want to be? Like, it's awesome. It's great. And
their show last year, just like 20 people all just singing every song to the top of their lungs. You had people dancing over like in the semicircle, just I was in there taking photos. It was just, you can't not be happy
right
when you're in the J-Rec.
Right. It's impossible. So true. It's so true. It is. It's great. It's a really great space. And so those bigger moments, and then like the smaller moments about the member who just suddenly participates. Mm-hmm. I mean, and those kind of things can happen almost at any time. There's this, I can't remember the name of it, but it's like a drumming circle. They have a drumming circle and they all have these big, like almost it's like a lot of exercise balls with drumsticks, and they just wail on them with a wonderful volunteer that comes in and leads it monthly. And it is so incredibly loud, but there is such engagement and participation in it. And they wail away on those exercise balls with all of the energy that they have. And it is so cathartic and therapeutic for them. And that's a favorite of mine. Yeah. You can't get any work done while it's happening, but it's great.
The cardio drumming.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a good mixture of exercise and music.
Right. Good. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. The J-Rec, yes, but just overall adult day centers, respite enrichment centers, and we've discussed this a little bit, but how do those types of programs and services actually benefit the physical, the mental, the emotional well-being of the members who are coming every day and being a part of it, and also the caregivers who are trusting Java enough to, you know, care for their loved ones?
Right. I mean, I don't think there's one aspect of that you listed that's not impacted in some positive way. I mean, socially, they're connecting with their peers sometimes. And I did mention that there is a little bit of an age range, and I think that's great and wonderful. The intergenerational benefits are amazing. But I think what they end up doing, what I witness and observe is that when it comes to the social standpoint, there's not necessarily barriers to connection. These individuals are not looking through a lens of, I can't talk to you because you're younger than me or look different than me, or you're, you know, potential challenge you're living with or obstacle or diagnosis you're living with is preventing me from being able to connect with you properly, which I think sometimes with others can be a little bit of a lens that inhibits us, that inhibition is gone for a lot of them. And so there's just camaraderie, there is laughter, there is friendships, there's looking out for the person to show up regardless of who they are.
Even for the members who are nonverbal have a more limited, vocabulary, they are still interacting with each other and laughing with each other. And it's quite amazing to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, when you think of that socially, that's also impactful emotionally. That's impactful mentally, cognitively. And I think there's also a level of trust and reassurance for the one receiving the care. They are trusting the space that they're in over time. Like I said, there's a little bit of an acclimating in the very beginning, but over time they recognize their system and their spirit recognizes they're in a safe place, that they are with people who care. They are with staff who care. And that what we hear from caregivers at the end of their programming day is that their loved one goes home and is able to rest more comfortably. They are more receptive to the care at home, are feeling excited about the next day when they wake up and knowing they're coming back oftentimes. And that ultimately provides, an impact to the caregiver. They're feeling more trusting and supported and not alone. They're not isolated in providing the care for their family member. They are feeling like they are a part of the community and feeling supported. You know, we often, not only are we taking care of these individuals, but we are, you know, connecting them with caregiver support group, but we're also engaging with them. Oftentimes we get phone calls from caregivers during the day where it turns into just a phone call of checking in, but also a check-in with them. And that's all great and wonderful and okay. And so those aspects are so, so important. And I think when you're feeling better inside, you're more inclined to be engaged actively. You want to participate in movement and, you know, the drumming circle, cardio drumming. You want to continue to kind of nurture that part of yourself if you're feeling more supported and safe and comfortable too. So it seems to be there's like a thread that ends up happening. And if one of those, with one of those aspects of overall care and well-being is suffering in any way, it can impact all the other pieces. So we work hard, like I said, to develop kind of person-centered care approaches so that when care plans are being looked at and being developed, that we are paying attention to those things that really make people feel seen and cared for in the way that they want.
So this is from our previous year's survey.
Okay.
91% of members felt the events and activities at the JREC were engaging and enriching. Mm-hmm. And then 96% of caregivers said the JREC gives the respite care they need and that they feel more relaxed and comfortable after their loved one starts coming to the JREC. So yeah.
It's so exciting when we get that kind of feedback from families, and it's just so validating to the work that's being done, because some days it's not always the easiest, but it is just so great. Our staff and team work so very hard to take care of these people and to do the best that they can for activity and programming. And to hear that, it's like, okay, great. This is impactful. This is making a difference. And that's great.
Do you have, can you think of any moments where a caregiver has come to you and said, you can thank you so much for the JREC, or, you know, this has helped my loved one so much? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've gotten, you know, some verbal thank yous for sure, like in person. Thank you. We appreciate everything that you're doing. And some emails as well from caregivers. Oftentimes that's like just one example of a mode of communication with calendars and updates and different things. And they'll write back with appreciation and gratitude for the activities that are happening. But I do remember a phone call from a caregiver, whose partner was attending the center, and she comes and loves being there. And, you know, there is, she really loved the plants. We have this amazing outside area and in Charlottesville location, through partnerships with, master gardeners, there's a lot of cultivating of beautiful plants and opportunities for members to be engaged in that and to maintain the garden that's out there and to work with these volunteers. And we have one member in particular who really likes to be out there and pruning and picking and weeding and all of those things. So we, you know, the staff nurtures that and creates those opportunities for her. And it's really lovely to see that happening. But her partner had telephoned one day just to say thank you. And I had the gift of being able to take the phone call that day. And he said, it is such an amazing feeling to be standing outside waiting for John, our partner at transportation, to come and pick her up and, you know, help her onto the bus and wait and watch her leave, fully trusting and knowing that she's going to be okay. And I'm comforted by that. And it gives me such peace of mind. I mean, that's just that was so great to hear that, because you could hear it in his voice and sense that he really was so grateful that she has a place to come, like to do that.
Well, yeah, having some place that you can say, you know, I trust that you are safe there and that you're going to be taken care of, it's huge for caregivers. Yeah,
absolutely.
Another one that we've kind of gone into, but how does the JREC help caregivers who are specifically experiencing burnout or are headed that direction? Because we know caregiver burnout is a huge, huge thing that happens to a lot of people just because of the demands that is being a caregiver.
Mm-hmm. So typically through a phone call and through, you know, our managers are obviously ready to listen in all the important ways. And that is a big part of welcoming someone's vulnerability and trust and sharing where they're at and what's going on. And oftentimes, and it doesn't have to be that openness of sharing. I mean, we welcome all inquiries. And there have been examples and moments when caregivers are close to maybe what I would, you know, vaguely identify as like a breaking point. And when that does happen, it is giving that individual the time to express whatever it is that they need, making sure that they understand all aspects of JAVA and our program and what we can provide for them. And we do have amazing aging service coordinators who work here who can, if there is, but depending on what we can help identify outside of just feeling like they need caregiving support, are there things going on with them financially? Is their home in need of some additional support and maintenance? Are they struggling with really anything in regards to helping to support the family, helping to support themselves, that we could potentially provide some assistance or a referral for? Mm-hmm. There have been referrals we've made for caregivers to our aging service coordinators who can help navigate like home repair or a more immediate financial need and help provide some support for that. Because oftentimes the needs are more emergent than they are just waiting, you know, going to a caregiver support group meeting or looking to resources we might provide. Sometimes it's more emergent and we can meet that need as well. They are welcome to talk to us for as long as they want to. You know, we have had caregivers who will just come sometimes in the beginning and just spend a little bit of time as their loved one's getting acclimated. Not, we don't, you know, obviously require that or necessarily think it's always the best idea right away, but there are some times when they just need to be, you know, they just need a listening ear and we provide that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's kind of just what JAVA is about. It's a very holistic kind mm-hmm. of a, we're not here to just help this one thing, yeah. you know? And a lot of times people don't necessarily know what they need until they're on the phone with us. And, you know, they happen to mention something that, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, we need a ramp at the house, but like, it's fine. Cause we've been making do.
Right. It's like, and oh it's my like, gosh. Yeah.
We can help you with that.
Yeah. yeah. So, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Have you noticed any changes in caregivers' health or stress level after they started using these services?
Yes. And we have, we've had caregivers share the benefits of their loved one's involvement. They will, you know, thank us and say they're so grateful for the JREC, they're so grateful for JAVA. You know, it's wonderful. Like our programs, both our Louisa and Hillsdale programs will occasionally hold like a collaborative activity where it'll be like an invitation to the caregivers to come and like participate in a meal or participate in some sort of event or party as our way of saying like, you know, thank you for your support of JAVA and let's have some fun together kind of deal. And the caregivers come and they show up and they are excited to be there. And I think that that is an example of just some levity provided to them that they can engage with their loved one in a way that is joyful and fun and are feeling grateful and appreciative enough for what JAVA has been able to do, that they feel empowered and driven to participate in the activity and bring something to the event or help support the staff with what they're trying to do. That I think speaks to like the semblance of community that we really try to create with the families and that, you know, reduced sense of isolation when they're providing that care.
Definitely.
Isolation is a huge problem for caregivers. It's mm-hmm. it's hard to find that community when you feel like you're doing this alone. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many caregivers out there, but it's so hard to find other people because you're spending all your time caregiving.
Right, exactly. And you're connected, I mean, right away when joining the program with other care providers. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and you've got people who understand mostly. You know, you never really fully get it, but when you're, you know, every caregiving situation is pretty unique, but you've got people who understand the toll it can take and are there to help support.
What do you think are some common misconceptions people have about services like the JREC?
I think some misconceptions about the JREC program is there is some sort of sense of a stigma associated with the acceptance of support and help. And there's a couple pieces about that. I think that oftentimes caregivers may be struggling with feeling like if they were to request support, request help, that it's reflected back on their ability to care for their family member, loved one, whomever. And that is a bigger problem with our society overall in regards to recognizing that no one can get through life without support and assistance. There is no expectation that you're just supposed to navigate it and handle everything by yourself with no support at all. And so that stigma, I think, can get in the way. There's a little bit of, I think, sometimes what I've observed when it comes to hearing from caregivers about, you know, learning more about this program, there's like a feeling of guilt or worry over what this may mean or what's happening. And oftentimes, once we have a conversation with them and we talk with them about what is available, what is provided, there is relief and understanding and eventually an ability to kind of let go and step back and allow us to help provide that level of support. I think that is a good recognition for everyone to realize and be okay with, is that, you know, things are difficult, things are hard. Life can be very difficult and hard for a lot of people. And it's okay to say, you know, I need some help.
I think that can create obstacles for people in acquiring that support and assistance and asking questions about it.
I think that there may be a perception that this is a step down when someone is living with a dementia diagnosis, that they are taking a step down in some way, that there is a association with this being a program or a level of care where there's no activity, that people are just sitting at a table and not moving about the space, not being supported medically or being supported through enrichment or engagement. We work very hard to not do that. And I think the best thing to do, if that is something that is a worry for people, is to come visit, take a tour, see what we provide, look at our calendars, talk to our staff, and just really understand that the goal and the intention is to always create a day, a week that is leaving them feeling better and okay about the choice they're making to bring your loved one to a JREC.
Yeah. And kind of on your last point of the activities, there's something for everybody, mm-hmm. as you like to say. You know, there's almost always some puzzle going on in corner. There's almost always some type of craft happening.
Yes.
You know, for the people who are like, I don't want to get up and dance, like, let me do something else. They can go off in another room and go do a craft. They have, you know, there's games sometimes set up. I've come down there and they're playing like basketball and stuff. And I'm like, where did the basketball come from, guys?
Yeah.
So there's always something.
And it's good. It's good to like kind of throw a curveball into the day sometimes. And you know, the staff or the manager may think, let's kind of spin things around a little bit and let's put this basketball hoop up and see at what kind. Because I think that sort of curveball into the day also can create an additional level of engagement for people and potentially new interest or excitement in what's happening. So keep them on their toes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And you find out very quickly, some people have a lot more skill in some things than you would think.
Yeah.
I come down there and I'm like looking at some of the art that's done. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have Picasso like down here at the center. Or I was watching a member play basketball one time and he shot like 5 baskets like in a row doing fresh shots.
Like, what is your, talk to me a bit more about your background.
I'm like, what did you do in life?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if you told me this story, but one day they had a podium set up in the JREC and all these members were going up and doing speeches and stuff. And like one of them, the first one that did it was like, used to be a principal or something.
Yeah.
It was like, oh. No wonder that you got up there and did a whole presentation on just whatever you were thinking of.
Yeah, it's yeah. really, and I have a little story about that too, actually, because he was a principal. And so it's very important at the end of the programming day that he pays attention to when everyone gets picked up. It's a very like part of his protocol and ritual from years back. So what the staff did to kind of nurture that for him and to give him a little bit of peace of mind was created like a roster that he could just check off. And what they recognized and noticed is that he was just feeling more in control in that moment. And the next day, the possibility exists that he may have forgotten what he did with his roster. But in that moment, he is engaged and feeling like he is in charge. And those kinds of moments of connection for these people is really important, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I've used to work in a nursing facility in specifically the dementia unit. And that was always something that was, you would have patients that would come in because a lot of them were from, you know, rehab centers for hospitals that were coming in for physical therapy. You don't really know a lot about their past. So it was always this fun game of like, something connects
and everybody connects.
Like, oh, yeah. This explains so much. Well, yeah, what did you do? Like, or, you know, you'll be doing an activity and then suddenly they're like, oh yeah, I used to do this. I used to detail cars. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And suddenly you're like, okay, what activities can we think of that kind of go into these skills that they already have and already, you know, appreciate.
Right.
So yeah, I feel like the JREC does a really good job with that of being like, oh, you're into this thing? Well, let's think of all the activities we can do that are like this thing that you can enjoy.
Yeah, for sure.
If you could give one piece of advice to families or for people who are thinking about the JREC or exploring this option, what would it be?
To not feel alone, to trust that there are people, and especially people here at Java, who are ready to hear his story. We're ready to sit with you. We're ready to talk with you. If you just want a phone call, call us up, talk to us. If you want to send an email, if you want to go through the website that way first, if that feels okay to you, do that. We will set up a tour. You can come and spend as much time as you like, take a seat, check things out. To trust that feeling like it's a lot, feeling like maybe it's not a lot, but you also aren't sure how much of the caregiving role you want to be in. There's so many ranges of levels for just the role of a caregiver that at any point in that journey, you're wanting to explore what this program could look like for your family member, for your loved one. Then reach out and talk to us, and we can walk you through the process, walk you through if you're worried about the financial piece of it. There are options. There are things we can explore. I don't want anyone to feel like they can't make this happen. And it's not a sign of weakness or anything else to say, I think I need someone to kind of walk with me through this. Sit with me, walk with me. We are here for that in all the ways and would love to talk with you.
Speaking on your little point on financial help, I feel like a lot of people don't recognize that we work with a lot of different partners to provide this care for people. Veterans are eligible to
VA
benefits.
Yes, VA benefits. Yeah. Absolutely.
There's a Virginia like caregiver respite program that provides money for individuals who are trying to get care for their loved ones.
Yeah.
And you guys have all this information. Maybe have fired it. If you're sat at home like, wow, I really like this thing, but it's just a little too pricey, like
call.
There's options.
Right. We'll work with you. Yeah. We'll work with you. Yeah. This Pat, we have several veterans who attend our program, and it was really special this past Veterans Day. We did a special, the manager at the Charlottesville location did a special kind of recognition on the wall for each veteran and had their picture framed and all the proper credentials and a little bit of pomp and circumstance surrounding it. And it was a really nice moment. So yes, we welcome that. And that is a wonderful benefit. We're very happy to provide those who provided service for our country.
If you are in the position of wanting to learn more about the JREC, you can visit us on our website at jabacares.org. That's JABACARES.org. And there's a section on our website just called JREC, Jabba's Respite and Enrichment Center. And you can go on there and you can look at the activity calendars for the month, see what programs are going to be offered, learn a little bit more about the centers. Like we discussed, we have two different locations, depending, one might be a better fit for you and where you live, or just depending on what kind of programming you're looking for. And you can also reach out by calling one of the respite and enrichment centers in Charlottesville. That number is 434-817-5235. And in Louisa, it is 540-500-5961.
Yes.
You can also always call the JABA helpline, and that number is 434-817-5244. And that is for any questions you may have, any concerns you may have. If you know you need help, you need support, but you just don't really know what it is that you need.
And where to start, yeah.
We'll figure out how to help you. Somebody is on that phone and we'll talk to you about whatever support we can provide. And if JABA can't provide it, then we'll find someone else who can.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah. The hardest part sometimes is asking for help.
Right.
So.
Right. Absolutely. We understand that, and we are, ready to take your call, answer your email, all the things.
And all of those numbers and information will be in the show notes in the description of this episode, wherever you're listening. Emily, thank you so much for being here and for being on last month's episode as well. You are officially our first double featured
guest. Wow, that's special.
Yeah.
How exciting. Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I love it.
Yes. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.